Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Simpin' After Dark, everyone. This is your girl, Ashley Mendoza.
And it's your girl, Victoria D. Wells. And we have another episode of Simpin' After Dark where we are going to get into our feelings. We're going to talk relationships. And today, especially,
it's a fun one. We're going to talk Kehlani. It's the song Open. Mm-hmm. And it is...
Is that a foreshadow?
It is foreshadowing. It kind of has like multiple meanings, but that's what we're excited to dive into because today's episode is going to be all about polyamory and open relationships and alternative types of love situations.
Yes. So probably everything we're not used to, everything the opposite from your traditional type of relationship. And we're going to talk shop. We actually have a special guest, an expert in the polyamorous field. So we're going to get into the details. So make sure you guys grab a drink, light the blunt, start some incense. I don't know. It doesn't have to be a blunt. Maybe it's a joint.
Whatever. Just set the mood. Whatever makes you feel happy and good.
What makes you feel happy and good?
Definitely some incense or a candle, right? A warm blanket, a glass of wine.
Ooh.
And some moody lighting, just like we have right now. That's why we do this.
Wow. She just named off everything I'd ever want to do if I want to take care of myself. I love it.
It feels good. Yeah. So our guest today, her name is Zoe Trope. I guess we can go ahead.
Should we just give her a ring?
Let's just hit her up.
All right. Know? Let's hit her up.
We'll let her introduce herself.
It's going to be awesome. We actually met Zoe through our good friend Evelyn, who is...
She hooked us up.
A listener of the podcast.
And yeah.
Evelyn is a traveling producer. She produces the most awesome content all over the world. And
Shout out to Evelyn.
Yeah.
For supporting us always.
Always.
Yeah. We've brought up polyamory on the podcast multiple times. Mm-hmm. So... shout out to her for hooking us up with someone that can give us more information.
Yeah, Ashley was like, I want to learn about this open relationship stuff.
So interesting.
And she was like, I think I know somebody. And so, all right.
So exciting.
I can't wait. Oh my God. Downtown in the background.
Hi.
Zoe.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yes.
I know. It sounds good. Yes. I'm so excited. It's a little noisy over here.
I know. In case you can't tell, we got downtown in the background. So we got hopefully no one passing away for anything. God damn. Thanks for being with us. Just another day in downtown. You know what I'm saying?
How are you doing tonight? Do you have your drink ready? Have you been sipping?
I'm good. I have some whiskey. I'm actually just in my robe because, you know, it's a regular Wednesday night.
Yeah. If you're at home,
I'm ready to get intimate.
Nice. Exactly. Dang, if you're at home, you definitely don't want to have pants on.
We should start wearing robes on the podcast. Shit, that's a good idea.
I love that.
I live alone, so I never have to wear pants.
Oh, a blessing. I don't live alone, and I still don't wear pants.
I am jealous.
So Zoe, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about what you do in the polyamorous community?
Yeah, so I am a relationship coach. I specialize in poly relationships. And in 2019, I created LA Polyamory. And I've been kind of hosting different events like speed dating, happy hours, book clubs, and a support group. And then 2020 hit, and all of that shut down. So we're all virtual now. And I actually just launched LA Poly Personals on Instagram, where people can meet new like-minded people in the community.
Oh, so I love exciting. That. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. I bet you're meeting all types of people. That's like awesome. That's really cool. And we'll be sure to link all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So
we'll get people informed on all of that. What kind of sparked your interest in polyamory? Were you just growing up and always kind of like, I don't want to have one partner, or what kind of sparked your interest in it?
Yeah. So, I mean, growing up, I never really identified with this concept of the one. Mm-hmm. Like, it just seemed so impossible. And even when I was like in elementary school, I'd have crushes on multiple people. So little did I know that there was a word for it, and it's just kind of what I gravitated towards. Mm. So as I got older, I started having different relationships. They were mostly open. And it wasn't until like way later on that like I literally had this moment where I was like, oh, I could be polyamorous. Because I was starting to have more complex feelings for multiple people. Mm. And previously, I just assumed, you know, if you're poly, you have to be a certain way. You have to live in a commune. It's like really hippy-dippy shit.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really, you know, what you make of it. And there's so much material and resources to absorb to better refine, you know, how you approach polyamory.
I love
and
that.
And I just, you know, committed to it. You know, there's really no going back for me.
Damn, that's dope.
That's such an interesting way to look at it. There's no going back. Like, is there anybody who kind of, do you know anybody who kind of tried polyamory and then went back to monogamy?
I think a lot of people who are in established relationships and, you know, they might open up and they might, you know, dip their toes in the water. They still have that safety net of that core relationship. Mm. And I've seen a lot of people decide, you know what, that's not for us. And that's totally cool too, you know. If they were willing to explore and be vulnerable with each other, and ultimately realize, you know what, like, it's cool that this exists, but, you know, not gonna put in the time and energy because it's a lot of work. Like, there's like textbooks.
I bet it's so complex.
It's a constant process. So a lot of people decide, you know what, it's not for me, but I'm glad I learned something new about how people relate to one another.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, you like say there's textbooks and stuff, but I feel like with like polyamory and open relationships, it's just like different for everybody, for every single relationship, and just your own rules and what you're comfortable with.
Right. Yeah. And like a lot of people, if they're long distance, or if, you know, a partner is like in law school or like in medical school, they might, you know, have an agreement where, you know, they have, you know, other types of relationships. And sometimes they get together again, and sometimes, you know, they drift apart. So it's just, you know, how they manage that.
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of like coming to agreement where it's like, we don't really have time for each other. And sometimes you feel unfulfilled. So that's probably where people want to like, I need to feel love still. So like, what are we going to do? So that's an option.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, I've never thought about it of that in that aspect of the work that you have to really put in order to have a, like a working polyamorous relationship. And that is that I can only imagine. I mean, I'm single right now, but a regular relationship is a lot. So to be able to manage and balance multiple relationships, I kind of admire polyamorous
people. Yeah, we actually,
I can barely even do one. You
it's
know what I'm saying?
Like, for real. That's what somebody asked us. We asked our listeners on Instagram, like what questions they would want us to ask you. And that was a question that really stood out to me was like, how do you balance your time? And like, if you're fully able to give yourself to one person. And like I mentioned, how you had brought up your planner and like keeping track of like everyone's schedules. I was like, damn, that sounds like you have to be really organized for this shit.
So I gotta get into it though. I know we had to ask her. We had to ask Zoe, what's your astrology sign?
Yes.
I am a Taurus.
I love it. And you know, Ashley over here is a Virgo. I'm a Capricorn. So the Earth Gang is strong. The planning is strong within us. So I just, the moment you said you had a planner and an organizer, I was like, yes, she has to be an Earth sign.
Yeah, I mean, I would be lost without Google Calendar, because it's not just my own schedule and like my priorities, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I need to know what my friends are doing and what my partners are doing, what their partners, yeah, partners are doing, because that way I can see, oh, next Tuesday we can have a date. Or, you know, if I buy concert tickets, I like put it on the calendar and be like, no one can take this date because we're going to this concert.
I love that.
So that's
dope. That's so important, actually, yeah, even for like non-poly relationships. Yeah. I feel like that's something that people could incorporate, because sometimes people just like don't plan, and that's how relationships fall apart. Mm. So that's a really good like concept, just like planning. Like, know my whole fucking schedule.
Plan some shit, guys. Like, so simple.
Like, isn't that crazy?
You can,
like,
avoid, that has to be said. You can avoid so many fights. Like, I told you about this. No, it's on the calendar. Like, yes. The calendar is the Bible.
Well, and that's what kind of referring back to like polyamorous relationships. So if you're doing multiple relationships, you're probably pretty good at like communicating. You're probably pretty good at expressing yourself. You're pretty good at understanding and balancing out with other people. And so to me, like, if you can do that with multiple people, you're on like a different level of like self-awareness. You're like, you're flowing. The love is coming in and out. Like, I see it as a very open, understanding thing that you can not necessarily like, because I think most people have a single relationship and they go, well, I'm cheating on this person. But no, maybe perhaps you're gaining a different aspect of love from another person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of how I relate to like my monogamous friends. I tell them like, hey, if you were to hang out with like your best friend, you just kind of plan ahead and you communicate. And if it bothers your partner, you know, you talk through it, right? Like, why would we want to limit, you know, how we spend our time with people and the types of relationships that we have, right? Mm-hmm. And I think friendships and romantic relationships kind of conflict sometimes. You know, we always lose that friend when they're in a relationship.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that shouldn't be the case. Like, there's room for everyone.
No, I recently had a friend who's going through it with a toxic ex, and one of his things was like, you can't talk to your friend. And I was like, yikes. Like, that's not, mm-hmm, I'm not even talking like polyamorous or monogamous relationship. Like, if someone is trying to withhold you from doing something, like, you should probably, that's probably a red flag right there.
Definitely.
Yeah, red flag.
But so with that being said, Zoe, how do you deal with jealousy in polyamorous relationships? Is there jealousy? Like, does that come up? How do you find that you deal with jealousy if you do get jealous? Or if you don't, how do you deal with other people being jealous about you?
I mean, it definitely comes up. I mean, it never goes away. And even if it's resolved, like, I mean, right now we're going through like the holidays and we have to choose, you know, oh, who am I going to spend Christmas with, right?
That's so true.
And that definitely comes up. And, you know, a lot of it is acknowledging like, hey, you know, this is how I feel about this, you know, and acknowledging it and putting it out there instead of holding it in and having a lot of resentment and then like having it bubble into something crazy, right? And, you know, this comes up when, you know, your partner is dating someone new and there's a lot of new relationship energy, you know, they're just so giddy about
honeymoon phase. Person.
Yeah, that excitement.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're having like all this hot, awesome sex, mm-hmm, and you feel a little left out. So at that point, you're like, who is this person? Yeah. And for me, what really helps is, you know, understanding like, okay, like, I know who this person is. I know what they're doing together. Like, we agreed on this, and just kind of repeating that to myself and be like, hey, this is just another person. I'm probably going to meet them one day. And that helps, you know, combat those feelings. But they never truly go away, right? You just kind of have to know how to.
It's a normal feeling. Like, I don't think that ever goes away. Like, people try to like frame it as a toxic feeling or something negative that you should like push down. But I think it's better if you accept that it's a normal feeling and then just talk yourself through it.
Well, that's really interesting, because I think that in polyamory, people think that you're not jealous. They go, oh, those just aren't jealous people. And they just don't care. And they just, mm-hmm, they're just doing whatever and they're living freely. And it's, and you're saying, no, it's not. That's not the truth. You do get jealous. Mm-hmm. We just work through those emotions. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all emotions are. They come and they go. They don't necessarily reside within you unless you allow them to. So that's why I feel like polyamorous relationships are like ultimate, like they're the super sane of like good relationships, because that communication has to be on point.
Yeah,
like,
definitely. Like, I don't think just any couple could just like do it, or any just one person that's not like right with themselves. Yeah, just do it. Mm-hmm.
So do you ever have like super honest conversations where I'm like, I'm a person that like likes to talk to myself. Do you ever really like talk yourself through things? Like, I know you said you kind of, do you ever really like, okay, damn, I'm getting kind of jealous. Like, this is just a new person. Like, maybe we should meet up with them, or maybe we should have a date together so I can get to know them. Like, what do you pull away when you're jealous and just talk yourself through it? Or do you kind of immerse yourself in the situation to help yourself get through it?
I mean, there's definitely the ideal state, and then there's like what actually happens, right? Like, I know, you know, I should be open and receptive and everything, but sometimes, you know, the other person doesn't want to interact with you and doesn't want you to know about them. And that's, I think, where I tend to do, or like, I'll, you know, try to find their Instagram and go down that rabbit hole.
I do that all the time.
But, you know, I try to, like,
straight
like,
up.
Step one is always, like, let's meet in a neutral territory. Let's figure this out. Because most of the time, you know, the person that your partner's partner, we call a metamour, right? Your metamour is usually someone that you have at least one thing in common, which is you care about this person. You have that shared vested interest. Of taking care of this person, right? And like, you know, loving them and all that.
I love that.
So if you can't find a way to bond over that, then, you know, there's something wrong, right? And that's when you kind of, you know, present like, hey, like, why doesn't this person want to like be open with us? Like, why doesn't this person want to share anything with us?
Do you like meeting other partners, like your partner's partners?
I do.
I feel like I would too.
Yeah.
It's probably interesting.
Because you realize like you have so many things in common with them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because like if they're interested in the both of you, like they have to have some
There's
kind of
pattern.
There's
got to be something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's fun.
And you can like kind of gang up and like use the shared partner.
Ooh, I like that. Like you can now be like, don't talk shit. We'll
Yeah.
Okay. Do you find that there is a pattern? Like if one person perhaps seeks to have multiple partners, is there a tendency to be a pattern in the partners, or do they tend to have like multiple variations of partners?
I think for me, I tend to date very similar types of people.
Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I've also seen people where like I didn't even knew you could get along, but you're dating all of these different people, right?
That's wild.
So it's different for everyone.
That kind of makes sense to me too, just because like I feel like with polyamory, like if I were to like explore that, it would kind of be so that I have this one person and we have this one thing in common, and then like we don't really click in this other way, so I'm gonna go, I love this other person because we click in that way that this other person just doesn't get me in. And like, if you're someone that has like really different things you're into, those partners probably look completely different and just have completely different personalities. So that kind of,
you have like one boyfriend you go to like a rock concert with, and then you have like another boyfriend that you just like chill and watch fucking Netflix with. And
that's what I'm picturing. Just like building like my little like characters, like of all my like different fucking things I'm into. Like,
yeah.
So
it's your dream team.
Okay. Like, speaking of dream team, like I know people kind of see polyamory as like a fantasy. They see it as kind of like, you know, the ultimate, like, oh, that's kind of fantasy land. That's not realistic. What's something, I mean, and I know we kind of talked about the struggles of scheduling, but what's something about polyamory that is kind of not so glamorous, but is a part of the process? Aside from, like I said, communication or scheduling, like, is there anything else that's kind of like, people don't think about this, but
people don't realize how bad the breakups are.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, as open as I am to like forming new connections, sometimes those connections end, right?
Yeah.
So instead of having, you know, one relationship end and one, you know, one beginning, it's all happening at once. Oh. And, you know, I'm now ugly crying into my partner's arms because another partner broke up with me.
Oh, wow.
And it's
I never thought about that.
Not glamorous.
Have you ever had...
boyfriend has seen me go through that.
I mean, that's
real
cool.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like dope that you have someone to comfort you too. But then I also wonder on the other side, like, have you ever had like a partner cry to you about being broken up with? And like, how would that make you
having
feel?
To like pick up the pieces kind of?
I mean, I'm always very aware of what's going on with their other relationships. So if they are experiencing frustrations or heartache, you know, I try to be there and listen. And like, I think the challenge is like not then blaming your metamorph, because like, I don't know, like when my friends go through like a fight with their partners, I'm always like, fuck that, you need to leave them.
Yeah.
So it's hard, right? Because you're like, you still want to advocate for that person.
Yeah.
And you just have to identify, you know, what you need. You know, do you just need to cry it out? Do we need to order some food?
Yeah.
Some dessert? Yeah. And just, you know, take care of each other.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that it always comes back to like love. It always circles back to just like loving other people, loving yourself enough to express yourself and like all those aspects. That's such an important base of any type of relationship to have. And I feel like that's the main focus in polyamory. So that's really beautiful. Yeah. I feel like.
Okay. So we had someone ask, about STI safer practices and conversations with multiple partners. And I know that's, I think, something you like to talk about with LA Polyamory. So if you want to tell us about that.
Yeah, like how do I safely bang a couple people? Like, I know that sounds kind of funny, but like,
communicate that.
Yeah, like, how can I do it in a safe way?
Yeah. I think everyone should be doing this, whether you're banging, you know, one person at a time or multiple people.
Amen.
And that's to know your status, right? And get tested regularly.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, with COVID happening, people are aware of, you know, preventative testing, right? Mm-hmm. And just talking to your doctor about it. Like, and if you don't have a regular doctor, there's actually an app that I use all the time to order all of my STI testing.
Oh,
so
cool.
I literally just like add it to my cart. I check out, I go get tested every 6 months. I haven't had any new partners, so I haven't had to do that. But what that gives me is, you know, if I go on a date and I know it's heading to a place where we're going to have sex, probably not that first night, but you know, that's week or month or whatever.
Yeah.
I tell them like, hey, by the way, you know, what is your what does your sexual health look like? And, you know, I always ask, you know, how often they get tested, if their partners get tested. That way, you know that this person is proactive about, you know, knowing their status.
Yes.
And then, you know, talking about, you know, how we prevent any spread of infections. You know, being open and honest and transparent. You know, what's great about the app is like, I've done this before. I can pull it up on a first date and be like, look, I just got tested.
I was going to ask you that. Cause I feel like you can ask somebody like if like they've been tested and if
and
what
they
their
could
status
just say yes.
is, they could like, yeah. Like, do you like ask them like for proof? Like, is that weird?
I mean, I feel like I would be like, I know you're saying yes right now,
but prove it.
So and it's not weird. You kind of like gauge their reaction. Like if they think this is weird or like they think you're weird, then you're just like, okay,
you're
like,
probably not the right person.
Then
No, yes. And that's why I, again, always go back to, I feel like polyamory is the super sane of relationships because you kind of have no choice but to be upfront and be like, I mean, if you're having one partner and you're not getting tested, I feel like you can fall into this cycle of not continuously taking care of your health and not checking all those things. Whereas if you're polyamorous, you're kind of like, no, that's my health. Hold up. So I feel like it almost forces you to confront your partners about their sexual past. It almost forces you to confront your partners about your jealousy or like whatever it is.
All your insecurities.
And that to me creates a healthy relationship period. So it's like, I mean, like you said, whether you have multiple partners or not, you should probably be taking these steps regardless. So I mean,
very true.
It's like the blueprint. People thought monogamy was a blueprint. Polyamory is the blueprint, baby.
You learn a lot. I'm learning a lot. We actually had a listener tell us that somebody had approached them about considering a polyamorous relationship. So they were really looking forward to this episode and just said like any information would help. So I guess like for me, if that was me, my question would kind of be like, is there different types of polyamorous relationships? For me, I would want to be like the main bitch still. So like, can I be like, I want, like, you can't love anybody more than me. Like, that sounds so fucked up.
I know. Is there like do you have like a main partner or like a side? Like, how
like
does that
hierarchy?
Work?
Hierarchy?
Yeah.
Like, is it just depending on you?
You just kind of set that up or?
So yeah, there is hierarchy. Where you can be the primary or the anchor or the nesting partner.
Okay, you'd be the anchor,
really,
Ashley.
or the main hoe.
No, or the main hoe.
Bottom bitch,
for sure.
and a lot of that is how you negotiate it, right? Like, it's all about consent, right? If everyone agrees that, okay, this is the structure, and everyone, including, you know, whoever is secondary, if they all agree on it, then that's great. Where it gets challenging is when one person's like, oh, like, why am I being left out? Like, why am I, you know, constantly, like, I don't get to spend birthdays with you or whatever. And that creates resentment. And so you have to, like, bring it up and talk about it. And maybe, you know, your hierarchy is really just, you know, describe, you know, hey, this is the person I live with. But really, you know, birthdays we should be celebrating like as a group or, you know, however you negotiate.
Yeah,
that's interesting. And in polyamorous relationships, I mean, I guess just from your personal experience, obviously, do you tend, because I feel like people think it's just like one big party all the time. Like everyone is just like five people hanging out and we're all just having sex all the time. You know what I'm saying? So like in real life, what is it usually like? Probably one person lives with another person. Are there scenarios where multiple people live in the same household? How does that work with living situations?
Yeah, I've heard of different poly households and including poly families where there's multiple adults that could have different types of relationships with each other. And they're raising a family together.
That's cool.
So I know those types of families. It's great, and it's like the Brady Bunch.
Like so much
and
love.
Then there's and then for me, you know, I identify mostly with solo poly, which means I don't really entangle financial or living situations with a partner. And, you know, I live alone, I have my own apartment, and then I basically, I host my partners, right?
You are a Taurus. You are a Taurus. We literally just had an astrology episode, and I just talked about, I said Taurus women and Sagittarius women got big dick energy. And I'm telling you, you got big dick energy for sure. You said, look, they don't got to. So that's another thing. Like, you choose to not live with your partners and you choose to host them. Yeah.
Is that something just for now you want to do? Do you think, like, eventually settling down, you would have to change that? Or are you, like, down to live solo forever? Because I feel like I want to live solo forever.
So. I want to live solo forever. I've lived with a partner before. And then you get just upset. You're like, no, this isn't how you do things here.
Oh, my God. I literally think I love her. Like, oh, my God. I always think about that. I'm like, oh, man, I'm single and I live alone. I'm like, my fucking life is awesome. Dude. Like, I don't want another person to come in and be like, you don't put the towels here. But, like, if you don't put them back, I swear to God, I'll beat your ass.
Right? Like, I at least want my own room and my own bathroom.
This is my space. Yeah. Don't touch it. But
I don't know. I can compromise. Like, I live in a back house, but I have, like, my own space.
Yes.
And, like,
that's perfect.
Shut the door.
Yes.
And, get away. Not to disturb me.
Beautiful. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Like, I just need alone time, but I also need company sometimes.
I like that. Yeah, that's kind of like the really cool thing about, like, normalizing polyamory, just because there's so many options. I feel like people are just, like, so stuck in, like, what
tradition
monogamy is, like, expected to be. Yeah, like, having to, like, share a room. Like, why the fuck is that normalized? Like, that's horrible. That's fucking horrible. I don't like that.
I think I actually saw a tweet that said, normalize having separate bedrooms with your partner. And I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. Like, my own space, get out of here, don't touch me. Like, yes.
Like, it shouldn't have to be like we're always fucking together in the same space. Yeah.
That's dope. Anyways, all right, do you have any more questions for Zoe? Should we bombard her? I'm like,
I guess I wanted to ask, just something kind of just my, like, question.
Yes,
was like,
please.
How do you feel about, like, representation in the media for polyamory?
Great question.
I feel like the term thruple has been having its moment.
Thruple?
I keep hearing about it. People keep sending to me, did you see that thruple on, I think it was on like House Hunters, or like, and then there was an episode of Grey's Anatomy when there was a thruple.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like it's entering into like mainstream media. But I feel like a lot of times people don't realize, like, it's not just like a thruple. It's really four relationships there, right? It's usually like, you know, the core couple, and then there's the individual relationships with the third person, and then there's the relationship of them all together. Like, it's a lot more complex than that.
So it's more like, and also, people think it's a circle, but it's more of like an interwoven web.
A tree.
Oh, yeah. It's a polycule, we call it.
Oh.
Where everyone's kind of connected, yeah.
A polycule.
Like a molecule, but polycule.
Oh, my God. I love that.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that visually just fucking, like, helped like a lot of people. This is like, I feel like the same way with like representation with like a bunch of things is fucked up in media. Like, even like cultural things where it's like, if it's somebody Mexican, like they're like speaking Spanish, wearing sombreros in the home. It's like, we need just like regular representation.
They do that with Jews too. They're always like throwing the yarmulkes and the curly cues. I'm like, God damn it, dude. There's other Jews.
There's like regular people just living their life. And I feel like we need that for like polyamory too. Like a show where it's just like a casual person that like has
couple partners.
People like,
Now question, last question for you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, one last thing to say is like a lot of the media portrayals is like usually around what we call like the one penis policy, where it's the man, the wife, and their girlfriend.
Yes.
And it's never like, you know, more than one man.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, more representation of like,
please,
you know,
one woman,
bisexual, one woman with multiple male partners.
Yeah. That, I even feel like that also ties into with like when you talk about polyamory or like open relationships, it's always usually like the dude that's like, yeah, I'm down for it. But they're actually just wanting to just like freely fuck other people without their mm-hmm. girlfriend being able to do the same yeah. thing. And that's what people need to like get through their fucking thick skull. Like, nah, it's not just you. If you want this, it's like yeah. all of you.
Yep.
It's fucked up.
How do you decipher between the two, Zoe? Do you just have like a real ass conversation? Can you tell like a fuck boy who's just trying to like mess around versus somebody who's like genuinely interested in polyamory?
Yeah, usually. I mean, like, there's some questions I can ask, like, what do you think about this? And, you know, how would you describe, you know, your views on poly? Mm. And, like, if they can't get past, you know, answering that beyond,
weed
like,
them out.
Oh, yeah, it's just, you know, we're just open, then they need a more substantial, you know, answer. And they need to be invested in it somehow.
That's
you know? Not just, like, a box that they check on a dating profile.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I guess that kind of leads me to also another question. Can you still cheat in a polyamorous relationship? Is there still cheating and like disloyalty?
Yeah, definitely. It's happened where people keep things from each other.
Wow.
And, you know, lying and like are seeking out like relationships that they shouldn't be seeking out, whether it's enabling cheating. Because that happens a lot, right? Like you feel like your options are limited, so you might pursue a relationship with someone who's actually cheating on their monogamous spouse.
Wow,
And that's definitely frowned upon.
Yeah,
yeah, a lot of bad people.
Yeah,
in so this I guess, world,
yeah. always someone abusing something.
It
always
is. That's the thing. It's like the misconception where people are like, oh, like. We'll just be open, and then it turns out like you could still get cheated on, or like we'll just be poly and like we'll just never have jealousy. No, there's still jealousy, there's still cheating, like shit can still go wrong. It actually requires you to be a bigger person to be doing this, like honestly.
Exactly.
Oof. So it's like it's polyamory ain't for the weak. Like you can't just come in here thinking that you're gonna get a bunch of hoes and that's all it is. Like no, you have to sit here and communicate. Because I know a couple men who think that they can hang in this game of like multiple relationships, and when you confront them, they can't even look you in the eyes, and you're like, sir, mm-hmm. sir, we can't even have this conversation right now. How are we gonna have multiple partners? You can't even have one. Damn.
Yep.
I don't know. Is there a difference between polyamorous relationships and open relationships, or is that just like a definitive term?
Like for me, I feel like there's like as an individual, you either identify as monogamous or non-monogamous, and I think relationships is what is open or closed. Because I feel like they can all like mix and match.
Okay, I see that.
Like I've heard of people that you know, they're poly, but they actually have a closed relationship. So we call that polyfidelity, where it's just between the polycule, right? And they don't date anyone new outside of that polycule.
Oh,
that
shit.
Relationship is actually closed.
Well, yeah, because true. Technically you're not letting anybody else in.
So then you could be like in a poly/slash open relationship.
Yeah, we call it like polyfidelity.
Oh, so that's how, okay, so maybe that's something I would be comfortable with, is like if I had like just two solid partners and we were just like, it's us. It's
like a closed poly relationship.
One for all for one.
It requires you to like look up exactly what that means and like explain what that
okay,
means.
Okay, yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, we are all about terms, and it's 2020 and definitions and everything means it's all about communication in this day and age, which I love. I'm all for. I'm definitely an over communicator. I will like double check 8 times.
So
with somebody.
Important. Oh my god.
Like, you sure? Okay, cool.
Better to over communicate than under communicate.
Agreed.
And then clarify what it means. Like, does that mean sex?
Yes.
And then specifically what kind of sex, right? Because people are like, okay, yes, you can, if we're long distance, then yeah, we're open, but I don't want you, you can have sex with anyone, but I don't want you to spend the night with anyone. Like, that can be a boundary that they put in place.
Or, like, no kissing. That'd be mine.
Right. Okay, she's like, no, okay, no, Ashley, damn it, that's not a polyamorous, that's a monogamous relationship.
That's my boundary.
A lot of swingers actually have that agreement where they'll go to a swing club and they'll have, you know, sex with multiple people, but like No kissing.
Oh, I just was watching Euphoria, and I was just watching Maddie like rip her friend open because she was like, "Kissing is the most intimate thing you can do," and I was like, "Damn, all right,
dude,
I guess that's a perspective."
I've heard of like some like dudes that are like, "Yeah, I don't like kiss when I have like random sex." I'm like, huh? How do you have sex without?
I was like, it.
But I feel like it does make it more intimate. So like, yeah. My jealous ass, if I was like to have an open relationship,
so maybe that would be your thing.
I'd be like, no kissing. You could put the dick everywhere.
You could kiss my pussy.
Kiss.
No, just not my mouth. No,
nothing.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So it's like super, super just mad communicative. You just have to be
it's
on
just
that.
Different for everyone, I guess.
I love that.
So what's like one thing you would tell, I guess, for like a last question, unless you have another one, Victoria? Mm. Like if somebody just needed like one like solid piece of like advice, like the first step to going into a polyamorous relationship, like say they already have a partner and they're trying to explore it. Like what's like the first thing you would tell them, or is like important, like golden key answer?
I think it is to talk to your partner about your biggest fear, right? A lot of times it's like, I'm afraid you're gonna leave me for this person. Ooh. And then putting that out there like really helps you like understand like, okay, the types of relationships I'm gonna be pursuing don't fit into that. So you can get past the kissing. It's not kissing that you're afraid of, right? Mm. It's the possibility that your partner is going to kissing that person so much that they're going to leave you.
No.
Right? So you got to break that apart.
Yes.
That's how you overcome, you know,
absolutely.
The kissing. Because what's going to happen is like, yeah, you can say like, oh, hey, no kissing. And then 6 months down the road, it's like, hey, I'm not having any luck with this rule.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
It's like, but what does that rule really mean?
Like, just keep asking why until you get down to like
what
the
does it
fundamental
really mean?
Issue.
Yeah. Like,
what's
like
the real problem?
It's
here?
Like it's like self. You really have to do. It's almost like self aware, like self checking, self awareness. Like, you really have to dive deep into like, okay, well, why does it bother me that you kiss somebody? Because I'm afraid that you'll leave me.
Yeah.
And if they say, you know what, I won't leave you. I do. I care about you. And kissing, whether I kiss somebody else or not, that's not going to be the ending factor of me leaving you. So, and it's like, oh, but that's scary.
I know.
Ah!
I guess you have to like really just fucking set out the rules. Do you ever like write contracts?
You can.
Don't laugh. I think that's a very good. I think it's a very good question,
it's in a
Ashley.
Notes app somewhere.
Yeah.
Like I need shit in writing.
The key is, you know, not just writing it down, but reviewing it.
Absolutely.
Going over it together.
I call it like having your housekeeping, right? Like just put it on the calendar, right? Once a month.
Yes.
You know, you're gonna spend 30 minutes going over this list. Because it evolves. It has to evolve. Because we're humans, right?
I fucking like, love that.
Everything shifts. You have to revisit it. If it's set in stone, that's when the resentment builds. And like 6 months later, you're like, I can't believe I haven't kissed him. You know? Like, like that's where the issues come up, you know, because you haven't been talking about it.
That's so important. Actually, our friend Stephanie comes on the podcast sometimes. She's a
brain doctor.
She's a therapist. And like, I know her with like her relationships. She's monogamous, but she actually does the same thing where it's like once a month we like check in and just communicate. Like, is there something that you're unhappy about? Like, have I done anything that's
to change
like getting under your skin or like what like do you want to talk about? So that's really important. I love that.
You know what's crazy? In my own religion, in Judaism, we practice the Sabbath and Shabbat every like the seventh day of rest. Most people think it's on Sunday. According to the Jewish culture, it is from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. And every Friday night, you get together with your family, and you're supposed to like very Orthodox Jew. We're not Orthodox, but they like don't use electricity, and you're supposed to like put all your shit away and just like talk to your family.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow, that's such a, and it's every Friday. It happens every Friday. And you're like, okay, once a week. And if you don't have it set in stone, it's kind of like if you don't revisit it, you really end up losing that like connectivity. And I love that, like, whether it's in religion or in relationships or in sex or in friendship or in therapy, the idea is always to reconnect and be present in the moment and talk about whatever communication you have with your partner And whether it's your partner, like your mom, or whether it's your sibling, or whether it's your friend or your sexual partner, or whatever partner you have, I think that the main point is it's important to communicate whatever feelings you have. Yeah. And it's not as easy as we all like to pretend it is. And although it like looks like it's a lot of fun, everyone thinks polyamory. Yes, we would love to have all these sexual partners with multiple people. But what it really is about is communicating, being honest, being upfront about your feelings, and kind of just.
So all the people that can't even fucking do that in a regular.
Yeah, like, that's not going to work.
Monogamous relationship. In a multiple one. It's not for you. Like, it's not gonna happen. Stop dreaming. Like, you can't even fucking communicate. Like, come on. Come on.
Zoe, if there's one piece of advice you could tell your younger self, what would it be? Little elementary crush on a multiple dudes, baby Zoe, what would you say to her?
Baby Zoe, don't get married.
Smart woman. God damn.
I love it.
Smart woman. I love it. It's beautiful. Zoe, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Seriously, we appreciate you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks all this valuable information. Where can we have our followers look for you on social media if you're open to that?
So I'm on Instagram at LA Polyamory. And from there, you can sign up for the various events. There's a newsletter. There's a Discord channel. It's all linked through the Instagram.
Beautiful. Awesome. Love it. Thank you for being on today. And I can't wait to have you back on and be like, guess how many partners I have, Zoe? Still none. Still none. Damn it.
I can't wait for that either.
Zoe, thanks for coming on today. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Literally, I'm shook.
Informational.
That was the most amazing thing ever.
That was like a dream come true. I've been so interested in like polyamorous and like open relationships, like not even just for myself, just like out of genuine like curiosity. Maybe for myself, you know, and like the future, you never fucking know.
No,
I think I've brought it up on the podcast before. We're like going into like a relationship with like someone. I was like, yeah, maybe in the future, and like he was not about it. And I was like, why not? Like, you're lame. And then later we were like serious. And I was like, you right.
But you know what? That's really interesting, because growing up in a really like, I think, traditional conservative type of household, I have no idea about these things. And then I'm hearing her speak and I'm like, oh, I mean, like, I don't think that's wrong. Like, I don't think that's negative. No. I don't think
it's
that's
all
bad.
Great, and it's just like information. It's all absolutely. Like shit you could even bring into like a monogamous relationship.
Yeah, like even if you're not polyamorous or interested in polyamory, you can still take these aspects and apply them to your own relationship. So if perhaps like
communicating, setting boundaries, like retouching once a month.
Or let's just say you've been in a relationship for a year and a half and okay, things are whatever, and you hear this podcast and you're like, polyamory, what do I have to learn? Have you been on a date? Do you have a Google Calendar? Do you make enough time not only with your partner, but also with your friends? Maybe you could reevaluate your scheduling. Yeah. Maybe you could reevaluate your communication.
With sex?
Have you been tested? When was the last time you've been tested? Ashley? It's been 3 months for me. I'll be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's
been like a year for me.
Yeah. I'll be honest.
I've been in a relationship for like over a year. Like,
no, I'm single.
Monogamous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still should get tested. It's still recommended to get tested regularly, even if you're fucking married. You never fucking know.
So that's like a good check. I've personally, like, I'm single, so I try to keep staying tested. I personally get tested at Planned Parenthood because...
Planned Parenthood does so much fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
And if you just have, like, Medi-Cal or Medicare, whatever is the one... Like, they do everything for free.
Yeah, no, they do. They really hook you up. I mean, obviously, we'll try to link some different places that you can go and get tested, because it's really important. And, like, also, I also want to talk about just being open with the people that you are having sex with. Like, don't feel embarrassed to ask people if they are getting tested. And if you ask some boy, hey, like, or some girl, hey, do you get tested? And they're like, oh, my God, why? And I'm like, I might want to fuck you. Got a problem?
Yeah.
And are you going to fuck that up?
If anyone gets weird about that, and
then they don't care, bro. They don't care about you and they don't care about your
health.
That's
probably a red flag. Yeah. Anyway, like, period. You should be able to have this communication in your regular relationship. Like, even if you're in a monogamous relationship, like, you should be able to like ask your partner, like, hey, when's the last time you got tested? Like, because I'm about to go get tested.
I did know a girl who was in a monogamous. Okay, what?
Monogamous.
Thank you. I was like, a monogamous relationship. And she got chlamydia and she did not cheat. And she got it from her partner who ended up cheating on her. And it was like, obviously that's a specific case, but it's just.
I read something like that. It was very similar, but it was like, I forgot what I was fucking reading. But like, she was like about to confront her partner and be like, you know, I got chlamydia. And then like, it turned out it was like a false positive.
Oh, man.
And she didn't even have it.
Oh, thank God.
And she was like starting to have like all these doubts about like her freaking man cheating on her.
Oh my gosh. So poor thing.
That's like a possibility. It's rare.
Yeah. Rare, but. Get a double test if you're unsure. But the main point we're trying to push here is that even if you're in a monogamous relationship, get it tested and go with your partner. Like if you're. Go with your partner next time. Be like, hey, we should go every couple months anyways. Like, I'm not saying, it's like getting a teeth cleaning. Like, you just want to make sure it's preventative. Ain't no shit there. You can develop shit. If you have herpes, like, on your face, like, if you get cold sores, you could possibly attract genital herpes.
80% of the population has a type of herpes.
That's what I mean. So it's like, I'm not saying that means you're cheating, but like, get tested, bro. Like, it's smart. If you got motherfucking, knock on wood, you got motherfucking cancer, don't you want to get that shit tested as soon as possible so you can fucking take care of it?
Exactly.
I mean, that, like I said, that's extreme, but.
I mean,
you know what we have not talked about this whole episode? Our song. Let's play a clip.
I know. Open to be open. If the lid just see me through, just way too focused. But if you're curious and caught up in the moment, can you hold me down when I'm across the ocean? Can you control it? Such a fucking bop, man.
Bitch. Bro, you see how she said, can you hold it down when I'm across the ocean?
Can you?
Like, wasn't Zoe just talking about, like, a lot of polyamorous relationships are usually people who are, like, in school or long distance. And it's like, so this song is Open.
Yes, it's called Open. It's from her album, It Was Good Until It Wasn't, which dropped this year. It's really fucking good, man. There's, like, so many bops. Like, there's no skips on this at all. And we've done Kehlani twice already. We could do her forever, every episode. Yeah,
literally.
Like, okay, so.
Yeah, she's so great.
If you don't listen to her,
she's
get
known, I think, for being bisexual.
Yeah, she's bisexual. Right? She's been in relationships with women. She was in a relationship with YG that got a lot of attention. They actually broke up, like, right as she was, like, releasing this album around that time. So, actually, listening to the song.
So, maybe this is kind of reflective of.
I'm not sure, like, when she wrote the songs. I know she seems like she writes fast because, like, when she was, like, dropping songs on SoundCloud, like, right as, like, it was, like, was coming out that he was cheating, like, Valentine's
she was, like, cheater.
And toxic. Yeah. So, just right off, if you listen to the song, it's maybe not super obvious that it's about being open, even though it's called Open and she says open. It's kind of ambiguous. Mm. But she did, like, a thing on
Twitter.
Because
that can mean a lot of things. Like, exactly what Zoe said. Like, it's literally all about, she's trying to turn off that highlight. It's all about, like, talking and communicating about what that means. So this is kind of her being like.
There's levels to this song. Mm. Like, there, it's like, like the questioning of an open relationship and then just like being open with a partner. So there's levels. So we'll get into that. But we do have a quote from her that was on Twitter when she was like, when she dropped the album and she was like, oh, ask me like whatever about the songs. And she was talking about her favorite songs and stuff. It was really cool. But she was talking about, man, this is my favorite. This my second favorite. Sorry. This song is about open relationships, but the idea of maybe being too deep in it for that change, but kind of knowing it's probably a better move. It's definitely about YG.
For sure, bro. Yeah,
like, you can.
So she's kind of saying that, like, she wanted to be in an open relationship, and once she figured out it couldn't move like that, she was like, this, I need to move on because it's too much.
Maybe. I think also it's kind of just knowing that, like, him being on tour, because, like, right here, like, the first verse, it's 3 a.m. in Vegas, all day, been faded. You're on tour, in and out them stadiums, and there's bitches backstage trying to upstage me. How am I to know what you do? And then, like, on
damn, this is so honest.
It's super. That's why I fucking love her. Like, she's just like open book. She's a Taurus too.
Big like dick Zoe. Energy.
And she got like that water.
She got that water. She got that water.
So it does here in the Genius annotations talk about how YG was on tour September 2019.
Damn, oh, no, they got the
dates. They were dating since September 2019.
Oh, they got the red receipts.
Yeah. But it's like puts all this out, and like it's just her talking about like, why aren't you checking your texts when you're drunk sleep? Oh, no, it's referencing lyrics from her song Valentine's Day, when she talks about him cheating on her.
We did that.
Yes. So it's like knowing that there's a possibility that they're gonna be curious, at least if they're
about
on
an
tour,
open relationship.
They're backstage. Yeah. Like, you're fucking famous. There's bitches throwing themselves at you. Mm. So I think, and it's the same for her. Like, she's a bad bitch. So I think it's just her questioning, like, is this a possibility?
So, but that's what gets me so fucked up about this whole open fucking relationship polyamorous bullshit, is that I can be honest. Arguably one of the most honest people, okay? But it's like, to me, a lot of people, it's hard to get another person to be honest with themselves. And that's where the issue arises, is when the honesty is not in the other person. Because I've had grown men look at me and been like, like this, cross-eyed. Look at me cross-eyed and be like, I love you. And I'm like, no, you don't. I know you don't. And I don't know why you're saying it. That's okay. Yeah. But it's like,
obviously YG's not a honest person.
Okay.
So that makes sense why she's questioning all
this. So, and that's what's fucked up, is that this person is willing to be open and have an open relationship where, like, okay, let's talk about this. Like, what do you need? What do you want? If you're saying, look, I want to be with you, but if I go on tour, then I'm single. Like, what is it? Like, define it. Whatever it is you want, define it. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like the other person can never define it. So the person who's usually open tends to get the most fucked up, because they're like, I'm just like trying to figure out what you want in life, and if you want me to love you from afar, or if you want me to love you up close, like, whatever it is, just let me know. And it's almost like they don't let that person know because they're not honest with themselves. And we all know somebody who's not honest with themselves, like when they're just like, oh, I'm fine, and you're looking at them like, no, baby, no, you're not fine, I know you're not.
Get into
but it's like
it.
What do you do? Like, how do you combat that?
It's rough. Yeah, like, so in the pre-chorus she talks about, what
does Kehlani know? Does she have the answers?
I feel like she's very self-aware.
Good.
So she says, what if you slip up? What if tequila grab your neck and say, don't bitch up? What if you want to shoot your shot and load the clip up? Are you scared to lose your queen and gain a bishop?
Literally.
So she knows she's a queen.
So are you trying to sacrifice your queen for this dumb little fucking side piece?
This little bishop? Man.
And if you are, it's fine. But it's like, we just need to define this shit so that I can either A, prepare myself, or B, move on to another fucking person.
Yeah, or so like I could do my thing too.
Exactly.
If you're out there doing your thing, because it's like, some people that cheat, they don't realize they're not the only one that are like tempted. They like, there's temptation
everywhere.
You think you're the only one that's
no bitch
to cheat? Like, no. So it's not fucking fair for you to be out doing your own thing just because you're across the country or up the street. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, out of sight, out of mind.
No,
like, communicate that.
And to me, like, I had a relationship where the dude that I was with was very like, things are cool. Like, we're not together, but like, we have a good time with each other. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, that's fine, but let's define this and that.
Yeah. It's always too vague.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's just define this. I just want it to be defined so that like, feelings don't get hurt. Your feelings don't get hurt. My feelings don't get
hurt. But when you ask that, you're getting too attached, huh?
Of course. It was immediately like, oh, you're in love and this and that. Or like, you want this. You want to be in a relationship with me. Absolutely. And I was like, look, I'm not trying to be in a relationship with you. I'm just trying to understand. First of all, you have a relationship with anybody. So like, we are in a relationship. We're not in a monogamous relationship, but we are in one, whether it's a friendship. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and he was just like, you're trying to be in a relationship. I was like, look, I'm not trying to tie you down at all. I'm just trying to define this shit so that if you're fucking with other bitches, I too can fuck with other bitches.
Like, exactly.
That is all,
but
sir.
What, like,
but he didn't want that.
People don't understand that, or like, I think they know, so they try to avoid that, and like, they can't handle being in an open relationship. Like, they're down to like be fucking other bitches, but they don't want you fucking other bitches.
I feel like this is where Zoe would be like, this person isn't ready for a polyamorous relationship. Yeah. Nope.
Exactly. And like, so the chorus,
first line, what'd she say?
do I got you way too open to be open? Mm. And like, I feel like that has so many like different ways you could interpret it. Just like,
what do you think it means? Go off the bat.
Off the bat, I'm like, are we holding a fucking fake mic when there's one in my face? I guess like off the bat, my first thing was like, are we too like open and vulnerable, like too like open with each other to even think about being in an open relationship?
I agree.
And it seems kind of backwards.
No, I agree.
But I think that's what it means.
It's kind of like we're so open with each other
vulnerable.
That we're not defining things. So we're just going to leave it open so we don't know where it is.
Yes.
And then it becomes fucked up.
Yes. So it's like a cool little play on words. Mm. Like, are we too like vague?
It's too vague to be open.
And then on the like open as in.
Yeah.
We need to communicate.
And because like, if you're open, you do need to
talk
communicate
about it. Yeah.
And so define what you want.
A really dope little play on words. I feel like there's multiple ways you can interpret that.
I love that.
And then she says, is the lens you see me through just way too focused?
Yeah. Sorry. That just didn't come out. I was trying not to blow in the mic and then it just didn't whistle.
No, but yeah, it's like once you're like in that relationship with the person and you're seeing them, like the lens that you're seeing your relationship through is like
side blinders.
Monogamous.
Yeah.
Is that lens too focused? Like, can you even see beyond that? Can we like pull it back and maybe
open
wider
it
frame?
So can we take this idea of monogamy and even though we respect our own monogamy to each other, can we open it up to other things and allow things as long as we communicate it?
Yeah, especially like for like her situation. It's like, yo, he's across the ocean. Like she's just accepting, like she knows what's going to happen. Mm. And it's not to say that you should accept that like, oh.
But if you're okay with that.
Temptation, like it's probably going to happen. You have to be okay with getting cheated on. No, she's just being realistic and knowing that she's going through the same thing too. So
yeah, and I think that if you're like, okay, for example, that said dude, like if I was okay with being in a non-committed relationship, then there's no issue. I'm like, I'm just asking.
There just still needs to be terms.
To exactly.
Like it could be busted the fuck wide open.
Yeah.
But there still needs to be terms and conditions.
Because and all I ever referred back to was like, I just want to be safe. That was always my thing was I just want to be safe because if you're fucking other people, then I just, I'll get tested once a month instead of every 6 months. Or like that was always where like I referenced back to and it was never communicated. And I knew it was like a manipulative type of situation, but
definitely
whatever. Anyway, so Kehlani, speak to my heart, baby girl. What was she saying?
Yeah, so she just talks about, can you hold me down when I'm across the ocean? Can you control it? Blah, blah, blah.
And also,
what if you're curious and caught up in the moment? That's the one where I'm like.
But even then, can you control it? So is this even an instance of like, can I control the fact that like I'm being vulnerable with my partner? So can I say, hey, you know what, Ashley, I did hook up with somebody. Or, you know, hey, Ashley, I'm having feelings. That is also a thing you can control because if your feelings arise and you're just shoving them back down, that's not controlling. That's suppressing. That's a different thing. You know what I mean?
True.
So if you have this arousal of like, oh, I'm sexually attracted to this person or I feel like I'm emotionally attracted to this person, I might want to bring them in. Can you even control your own emotions in that sense of the opposite term?
Yeah.
And can you say, hey, you know what, I feel like I want to bring this person in. Would you be okay with that? Would you be open to that? Can you control that?
That reminds me of somebody, I don't remember who it was. Like, I forgot what we were talking about something. Oh, I posted that video about like that, like white man.
The guy with a crazy ass face,
no
bitch.
Offense.
What the fuck? That shit scared the fuck out of me.
It was from TikTok.
I opened that video. I was like, ah.
Yeah, he's no offense.
I mean, no, he said some very factual things.
It was just an interesting.
God like, can't give everybody point. Everything, okay?
It's an interesting like starting point of conversation where he's talking about like the difference between people who cheat and don't cheat is like people. Like, okay, say it's like me and you. The difference, I don't cheat. So like somebody walks in who's like attractive to me.
Like,
and like,
wow,
I'm not
fine.
A cheater. So like he starts trying to talk to me. And like, I just kind of keep it closed off. I keep the answers short. I keep it the one arm.
Stiff arm.
You stiff arm
a motherfucker.
Arm, like,
because you know,
trying,
so
trying.
Your red flag comes up. Your red flag goes, uh-oh,
like,
Ashley.
Damn, he's hot. Like,
Ashley, he's fine. Fuck. And then you go.
He's fine as fuck.
So in your brain, you go, like, okay, he's fine. So because he's fine, let me separate myself from him because I know I'm not about that. Because
I know it's a natural human thing to be attracted to other people. Like, that's not going to stop when you're in a relationship. So I'm just going to, like, not let him come in. You know?
It's just like when I go to the grocery store and I'm like, do I want these Oreos? And then I'm like, no, V, don't get them. Because if you get them, you're going to cop like 4 sleeves at night. And then you're going to wake up.
Just save them. Put them in the pantry.
Nope,
just in
it's not going to work.
Just in the pantry.
Even do it. I can't even buy them because I know if I buy them, I'm going to collapse. So I go, you know what? No, I'm just not going to buy them.
Yes. So then. Versus the cheater, Victoria, she's going to entertain
my roomie. She'd just be buying all the cookies. and guess what?
So this dude This dude walks in and, like, Victoria, she doesn't know, she hasn't accepted that, like,
I'm
going to cross that boundary. I'm going to cross that line.
Just, I suppress those feelings.
Yeah. So she's just like, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to flirt. And then she could technically develop feelings and then it becomes a problem and then end up cheating.
But I'm just like, but I go, you know what? I'm not even going to think that far. I just think he's fine. You know what? Whatever. He's fine. We're friends. It ain't no big deal. Hey, what's up? How's it going? Nice to meet you. It's not no big deal. Ashley,
let me get
Ashley,
your number.
It's
just
no big deal.
Just for like work purposes.
No, it's no big deal, Ashley.
Just for work purposes.
Don't be mad. Why are you mad? That's weird that you're mad. What do you think? I'm doing shit? Are you doing shit? Oh, fuck that. It's like literal proof that people who don't cheat, they literally stay away from people that they feel attracted to because
the self-awareness. Mm. That's the difference. It's self-awareness.
Totally. You know what I like to relate it back to?
What?
Monkey poop. Because that's the difference between us and monkeys, right? When we get mad, do we fling our fucking shit everywhere?
I wish.
I wish I could. You don't think I wish I could throw my poop at you? I wish I could just get mad, push out a little dookie and just chuck it right at your face. But I can't do that because that would make me an animal and that would make me unacceptable in society. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the motherfucking difference between making you a decent human being and a shitty fuck boy. And again, fuck boy is gender neutral. So you can be a fuck boy, fuck girl, whatever you want to fucking, whatever you are, you're a fuck. Mm-hmm. Don't be that. Don't be a monkey throwing.
A poop throwing monkey. Somebody replied to that video and he was like, this just feels like forced monogamy. You're just like forcing yourself to be monogamous. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, technically it is.
Like, Zoe would giggle. She'd be like,
yeah, because I mean, technically humans are not really hardwired to be monogamous. It's a pretty like new thing. Like if you go back like history wise, like evolution, like fucking years back, we are kind of forcing monogamy. It's like been like a thing that we've been socialized to accept.
Yeah.
It's just the standard.
So it's not,
you're right. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But
society does that, not us.
Yeah,
or that man.
But
that egghead shaped man.
But like, if you feel like you're like that's a bad thing. Like if somebody tells you like keep that stiff arm and you feel like, no, that's forcing me to be monogamous, then maybe you should explore polyamory.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't feel like you're forced. Like for me, if like I'm in a relationship, if like somebody walks by like and I'm like, damn, I can't fucking flirt with them. Like, I can't just talk to them. Like, I'm not going to be mad about it. Like, I pride myself in my loyalty.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel resentment. So
my loyalty is strictly out of laziness. I don't know.
I talked about that before.
I don't know how people can cheat. The difficulty in like deleting all the I can't do it. I'd rather just be loyal.
Effort, yeah. Too much energy. Mm. Like if you're like deleting shit, like shouldn't you just
like, be in an open relationship?
Yeah.
Just go like this. Hey, Ashley, I really like you and I think we should keep hooking up, but I think I also want to be in an open relationship. Would you be cool with that? And if you're not, that's okay. But I think that's something I personally just really want.
Yeah. So then you work that out and like you decide to leave or stay.
It's so easy. So don't be a selfish fucking cunt.
Basically.
But you want to know what? Let's go into.
Into it.
Verse 2.
Yeah. So then she just talks about like her side of it. So she says, if I'm an AOD, stands for Ace of Diamonds, a strip club in LA. She's considering, okay, so she says, if I'm an AOD trying to stay low key, shawty's so religious, way she praying on me. But if I take her to the private, let her be my pilot, how should I know what to do?
So she's straight. So she's
like, what if I slip up? What if tequila grabs my neck? So it's like now her, like, so it's like she's recognizing like whatever YG the fuck is going through. She's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
So how fucking dare him?
So she's fucking swinging that big dick energy right the fuck back at YG. Strap. And she's like, look, I get that you got bitches backstage, but I'm also at the fucking strip club. And if I want to have some bitch eat my pussy, what and the fuck this, do I do? Do I tell her no?
And this is the thing.
Do I say no?
Like, what if tequila grab my neck, blah, blah, blah. What if I want to shoot my shot and load the clip up? And if I do the same, will you go play the victim?
Will you say she cheated?
Girl.
Will you say she's a hoe? Yes. Because how many times is it, I mean, and maybe we didn't get into this too much with Zoe, but in relationships, we kind of touched a little bit on it in media, how maybe it would be nice to see a woman having multiple relationships. Whenever a woman cheats or if a woman is in an open relationship, automatically deemed a fucking slut or a whore.
Yep.
Period.
That reminds me of Insecure.
Oh, what part?
With so spoiler alert, maybe skip forward like 30 seconds.
Somebody doesn't.
So, you know, obviously Issa cheats on her man and it's like he leaves her. He's fucking pissed. Like, it's no redemption. Like the fucking end of season one where he's fucking that bitch just like crushes my soul. And then like later down the line, like season two, maybe, I don't know, where he's talking to his homie, that same guy that was like trashing
Issa. Oh, yeah.
When he ends up cheating on the girl and then he's like, well, you did the same thing. And he's like, well, no. And it's just like, we're getting back together. And he's like, what? Like, you totally made me feel bad for like considering getting back with my girl. But like, you cheated on your girl and she's taking you back. And like,
so keep the same fucking energy.
Keep the same energy. Yeah. Like, why are we trashing like women for cheating? And we've literally talked about Kehlani in a previous episode where she almost fucking killed herself because people bullied her because they thought she cheated. Like, stop it. Stop the double standard.
Well, and it's just like, it doesn't make you a slut because if I like want to have a man and I feel like me and him, we get along, whatever, and we have this relationship and I find I have another relationship with somebody, what is the difference? We'll just touch back. Let's bring this motherfucking full circle. Let's circle back. What's another fucking office term? Let's reconvene. If anyone wants to jump in and take the rein,
like circle back.
Basically in relationships, it's like I had a friend who their man was like, oh, you can't talk to your friend anymore because he was so jealous of just the type of friendship we had.
That happens, yeah.
And I was talking to my mom about it, who's old as fuck. That bitch is anxious. Don't tell her I said this. Mom, I love you. 21 years old, bitch. You don't look a day over 12. Okay. But that bitch was born in 1464. Okay. And I don't know why, but like, she was like, you know, I've had relationships where like, I've had friends who are like her really good friend, who's like really close to my family. She was like, yeah, like my ex at the time thought that me and her were in a like lesbian relationship.
No way.
And I know like me and my good friend, we like to joke that we're lesbians, but it's like, I think he was just so threatened by like our friendship that he was like, what the fuck? So a jealousy is literally popping up in a quote unquote, you could even say that it is a polyamorous relationship, right? Because I have a relationship with her. I have a relationship with her man.
Yeah.
Her and her relationship, we're just not sexually romantic. Polyamorous. Exactly. But in that instant, he was so jealous of our friendship that he was like, I don't want you to talk to this person. And I was like, whoa. And she saw that it as happens. A red flag, but I was just like, it doesn't have to be a sexual relationship for it to be jealous.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it could be, like, you're in a regular relationship, like, monogamous.
And check and yourself. You're
like, I feel like you're spending, like, you're going out of your way to spend way more time with your homies than you're spending with me.
Yes.
Like, in the last 2 weeks, like, you've hung out with them, like, 3 times, and we've barely had time to FaceTime.
So that's how you can check in. That's how you can use polyamory as an example to check in like, your real-time relationships. Like,
where's the balance?
Yeah.
Like, are you, like, giving, like, all your like friends, family, like romantic relationship, the same amount of effort and energy.
Exactly.
And if you're not, take a step
Where
back.
Is it lacking? Yeah. Where can you give? And I know we don't talk about marriage a lot, but even in marriage, sometimes I know like in marriages, you're like, oh, you hang out with your mom too much. Your mom meddles in our relationship or even maybe perhaps other relationships. Whatever it is, I think that the main point here is fucking communication, bro. communicate. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the passionate part.
I kind of want to call Zoe back and ask her a question.
Should we?
Do you think she'll answer?
I don't know. We can try.
Ask her about why she said don't get married.
Should we ask? Should we call back? Okay, fuck it. All right. Oh my God. We're doing this on the podcast.
It's us again.
We're calling again.
Let's just see if she answers.
I know. Let's just see. All right. Fuck it.
It's just interesting.
We had one more. I love it. Hello?
Hi.
She answered. We are still on the podcast, and Ashley had, oh, okay. She said, no, we have to call her back. I have to ask her one more question. So Ashley, here's your chance.
You I wanted to ask you, like, when you said, like, your advice for your younger self was don't get married, like, why is that?
I realized that there was no context to that, and, like, you actually don't know my background.
Yeah, I kind of just brushed it off because I agree. Like, I know, don't really believe in marriage, so I kind of just brushed it off. But I was,
that's
like,
I was like, great, we all agree, wonderful.
But I was like, wait, why would she tell herself that as a young child? Like, she's already, like, pursuing polyamory now. It must be, like, a reason. So, yes.
We had to know.
I was married for about 5 years. And we actually met, and we had an open relationship from the beginning. The marriage part was just really unnecessary.
Damn.
It usually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn. So you obviously got divorced.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was just, it so wasn't she was like, fuck that. It wasn't for you.
Pointless.
So it ended up just making it messy when you broke up.
No, I mean, it wasn't even, we didn't even break up because of anything related to poly. It was just, like, it was not where I wanted to be, you know.
Okay.
Marriage was just not compatible with, like, how I wanted to live my life. And I feel like marriage, you know, it has, like, this legitimacy to it, where, you know, even if you tell people you're open, like, if you're married and open, it's even more acceptable than being single or, you know, solo, which is what I am, and open, because it just seems like, oh, you're undecided, or you can't make up your mind, or you're just sleeping around.
Like, you're not down for commitment.
Yeah, and then marriage was kind of like that safety net. And yeah, it ended up just not working out for us, but we're still good friends.
Oh, okay.
We still have
nice.
A dog together.
Aww.
Yeah.
Love a dog. Love a dog child. So, moral of the story is don't get married.
Yes. Awesome.
Right. Zoe, thank you so much for answering our phone call. We weren't sure if you were going to answer.
So well.
We love you more than you know. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your night.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I love that. I love that she answered. Hell yeah.
I had to know.
We needed to know. Like, so.
I kind of agree. Like, marriage is not for me. I just don't see really the point in it unless there's, like, they have bomb ass, like, health benefits or something.
I was going to say, most of the time, most marriages are for, like,
contractual
obligations.
Like, beneficial, financial beneficial things.
Literally, like, health
taxes,
care.
Taxes. Yeah. Like, shit like that. That's
trash.
Yeah.
So should we play a clip of this?
Let's play. So I actually have a second clip because this song is actually called Open, and then, like, in parentheses, it's called Passionate. Mm. She has a fucking beat switch in the middle. And it's so good.
We had to play it.
It's so good. Yes.
You know us. If there's an extra good part.
Yeah. So it goes from open into passionate. And it's just a really dope beat switch. And, like, the second part of the song is really cool too. So I've got a clip for you. You got me way too open to be still as cleanly. Pull up where I'm from and they respect me. Make some room for you up in the front seat, slide and you wanna come by.
Damn.
Yes. Kind of like gives me like the Knights beat switch vibes, like Frank Ocean.
Ooh.
Not as fucking iconic. It's just, that's a high.
I used to know someone who used to play the harp. And now
I used to want to play the harp so bad when I was little.
It was insane. I had these neighbors that were like, they had like miniature horses. Everyone in their family, they were all homeschooled. Every single one of them played like an instrument. And then like
that's
me,
like if I ever have
me and
a
my brother
family,
were just like,
that's what I want my family to be.
Yeah.
So I'm not having a family until I can provide miniature horses and harps for my children.
Like, literally, they had, like, piano, harps.
I want to homeschool
cello,
my kids.
Cello, violin.
Make them fucking play an instrument and just, like, give them the perfect, just, like, canvas for being creative and all that.
They were, like, their whole family was filled with all girls except for one little boy, and he was the youngest. And he used to, like, pick flowers and bring them to my mom.
That's cute. Wow.
Literally, I hope they're doing great.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he's married now. Wow, congratulations. Look at me, failing in life. You you flourishing. No, but yeah, I just, the harp is the most beautiful fucking thing on the planet. It's the most
so
angelic
dreamy.
Thing. Yeah,
literally,
it's so.
Like, just automatically just like takes you to like a different fucking level and like.
Yeah, I'll never forget like feeling, I literally will never forget feeling someone playing the harp in my presence. It's the most magical thing ever.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. So that should just switched up.
Is it Janae Aiko that like has like a freaking live like.
That would make sense.
Yeah. What is it fucking called again? I just fucking.
A harpist?
A harp. Yeah. Like, well, she has like a live. It's like a girl. I'm pretty sure it's Janae Aiko. And oh my God, man. Yeah. That shit will make you cry.
Yeah. It's literally. It's so beautiful. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful instruments.
It just. Yeah.
So what does she say in this verse?
So it kind of just goes into like a tangent. She talks about made it out the mud and still it's killing me. A pull up where I'm from and they respect me. Made some room for you up in the front seat. Slide in, need one to confide in. Then he hear the sirens grinding. I knew it was all in you. When I saw your eyes, then I met your hands. Lay it on my thigh. You control the cruise. I make you crazy when nobody watching. I'm out your way and I proceed with caution. Don't do too much talking. Just lay down that action. No, you come off bold, but it's just your passion. So it's a cute little sexual thing. She always getting sexual. I love it. And then she just talks about, oh, you're passionate, baby. It's a little outro, like a little sexual.
So she's kind of like saying, I love a good outro. I love a good intro. I love a good switch up. I love a good transition.
Yeah,
like,
so
I'm
this
all
song
for it.
Is like one of the best songs on the album.
A good interlude.
And there's a lot of good fucking songs on the album. Yeah. So if you haven't listened to it, do it. We love Kehlani, obviously, on Simpin' After Dark.
Yeah, you already know.
It's our third song of hers. I wanted to do Kehlani the last week in Victoria.
Yeah,
was like,
I was like,
girl.
I feel like we should really pick someone else. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, you're right.
Our listeners are going to be like, bitch, fucking pick someone else other than Kehlani.
Like,
goddamn.
Kehlani After Dark. We'll, like, would have to just switch it to that, which maybe we'll like have a little side podcast. Kehlani.
Just a Kehlani podcast. I fucking love
I'm
it.
Down. Yeah, so that's pretty much the song. And like it kind of reminds me back to like how when Zoe was talking about she first started with like open relationships and how it kind of segued her into like polyamorous. So brings me back to this. It's like kind of about Kehlani like contemplating like, could I do an open relationship? Is it a good idea? Like probably like based on my situation. Yeah.
So just like if even if you're gonna be a fuck boy or if you feel like you're not ready to be committed, at least just communicate that. It's literally so simple to
stop
be like
being selfish.
Hey,
like if you want to be open, then you should communicate that to your person so that they can be open too. Because it's not fair to make somebody suppress their feelings while you're out fucking around.
Yeah, I mean, if you're fucking around, I want to fuck around. Let
Don't
me have
be
fun.
Fucking trash.
What the fuck?
Fucking disgusting piece of trash.
You can always catch us at Simpin' After Dark on Instagram, or you can follow me at Victoria D. Wells.
Follow me at Ash_Friday_ on Instagram. We're also on Twitter, Simpin' After Dark. We have a playlist on Spotify.
Yes.
Go like that shit, Simpin' After Dark.
You better.
Yeah, and we'll link all of Chloe's stuff down below, all like the freaking like STD checking app shit. I'm about to check that out. That's tight.
We'll make
and
sure we have
LA polyamory and like all that stuff so that you guys have access to all of this. I hope you guys learned a lot because I did.
And also LA polyamory is like a great resource if you are looking to get into polyamorous relationships, or if you're probably curious about it and you're looking to meet other people who are curious about it too. That is a great place to start, so definitely check that out. We'll link that. Shout out to Wild 7 Studios for always hosting us here in downtown LA.
The best. We love
them. Hey, Wild 7, baby.
We love them.
And Ashley, thanks for always coming on this podcast with me, being so open. It's so nice
That's
to be able to have somebody who's vulnerable right next to me,
just like
not judging
together
me.
And just
Wow, the communication is strong. I'm about to go home and be like, so I had a great night, thank you, let's summarize this.
Right. I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good. So.
Guys, let us know what you think about this episode. Make
and
sure
thanks
you
for
email
submitting
us
all your questions that we got to ask Zoe. Hopefully we covered all of them.
If not, we'll call her back right fucking now.
Yeah. Tell me right now.
Just tell us. We'll call her. Till next time.
Bye.